I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, 'cause I need you more and more.
I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do,
'cause I need you.
I'm chasing after you.
I'm chasing after you.
chosen generation. Come on, guys. Come on, put your hands together. Come on.
I live a life of faith. for you are holy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, I give
holy,
you all the praise, for there is none like you.
Are you Lord God,
hallelujah,
almighty?
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb. You are beautiful.
You are beautiful.
You are beautiful.
Heaven.
Praise God. Let have all the teenagers come back, all the young. Praise God. All of you guys come back in so you can hear the word of the Lord. Amen. I was blessed by that. How many parents were blessed by that? Yeah. There's a lot of lesson we could learn from that little skit that they just did. It brought tears to my eyes for several different reasons. And on a day like this, I think that, you know, it's important for us to hear practical things when it comes to our children. Amen. As soon as possible, I would like for the teenagers to join us. Amen. Sister Tola, as soon as possible, if all the teenagers can come in as well so that they can hear the word of God. You know, a few things came to my mind in that. A lot of times, we parents are extremely busy. Too busy to hear the little things that our children are wanting to tell us. A lot of times, we are too focused on what is going on with us. The job that we're going to, the 9-to-5 that we're doing, that we're not paying attention. A child may not necessarily say, "Mom, can I speak to you?" But there are some signs that they will give off that will let us know it's time to stop and take a moment to speak to our children. Another thing that came to mind as I was watching this skit is, what if there's a child who does not have that, you know, that type of attention at home? But it was not a Christian that spoke to them. Can I hear amen in the house? What if, and this is happening every single day, what if it was not a Christian that got a hold of our children? What if the examples that they are getting is, "Hey, why don't you come over to my house? When your mother, what time does your mother get home?" "Oh, she doesn't get home till 9 p.m. Why don't you come over to my house? We live in the same neighborhood, and let's smoke some weed together." "Oh, what time does your dad get home?" "Oh, he works overnight." "Well, when he goes to work at 7 o'clock, why don't you come with us? We're going to go driving, and we can go swimming in our friend's pool that does not have a lifeguard." The question that I have for us this morning is, are we instructing our children enough to be able to make the right decision even when time does not permit us to tell them? Yesterday, one of our children, we were coming to church, and one of our children, they were listening to the sermon that was on the radio, and they were asking questions about divorce. Now, any parent will quickly dismiss that and say, that is not the time for it. But one thing that I have realized is that today I can walk out and a car can kill me. And then I will say that it was, you know, something I should have said. We should try our very best to spend every opportunity to answer the questions, regardless if we feel it is too early or it is however we feel about it. These children must understand that they have a solution outside of what they may hear at the school or outside. It is important for us to know that we should be the first ones to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And more so, it is based on our behavior that they are going to learn. It's so easy for us to say, "Do as I say, but not as I do." It is important for us to say that, you know, "Why don't you do this and why don't you do that?" But they are not necessarily seeing us do those things. I was touched by the skit because I felt how many of our children in church are going through this experience. someone wrote a skit for them that they're acting out, but the question really is, when was the last time we sat them down to say, what is happening with you? What is going on in your school? Do you have any friends? Who are your friends? What kind of friends? How are you judging your friends? Are we giving our children the word of God? Are we letting them know that they are valuable to us and then to God? It is important for us, and I thank God for the scripture that the children are using for this year. And that is a wonderful place for us to start. It is in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, if you can pull that up. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. If you're there, anybody that is there, even if it's a child, please go ahead and read. Praise God. We're going to move on.
After a period of glory.
Amen.
The Lord of heaven's armies sent me against the nation. Well, this NLT.
Amen. Here it is. They've pulled it up. It says, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Thank you, Pastor. After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations, which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eyes. The first thing that I want the parents to understand before I speak to the children is, are we prophesying this into the lives of our children? You know, we are busy, and the reason we're busy is not because we just feel like being busy. We are busy because we want to provide a right environment for them. Because one of the things that they say parents look for when they are about to move to a new city is the school district. The school district is going to determine where they're going to move to in town, because the school district is going to say how good the neighborhood is. So you are working overtime, not for yourself, but for these children to be able to have a future that was better than yours. But these children are not necessarily understanding the reason why. All they know is that mom and dad is always gone. And so sometimes we need to take time out to let them understand the reasons why you do the things that you do. That's number one. Number two, so we don't have enough time to pray for an hour. We don't have enough time to pray for 30 minutes. But as your children is going out, you can prophesy into their lives. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be first and you will never be last. I put an edge of fire around you. No demon will penetrate your life. You are the apple of God's eye. They that touch you can not but rest, but they must leave you alone. Just prophesying into their lives. It is important for us to understand that God will have us prophesy into the lives of our children. The best way to speak to us in a practical way is to go by the things that I am going through. I remember that even this weekend, we went on a mini vacation, and we were all in the room together. Usually when we go on a vacation like that, we'll get a double bed. We'll have the children on one bed, and we are on another bed. And all of a sudden, one of the twins screamed from her dream. And she screamed so loudly that it woke all of us, including the ones that are in her bed, woke up us, the parents, and we all said, what happened? She said, I had a dream. And we said, well, what was the dream about? She said that I saw a cat jump on me. Immediately, I flew out of bed. I didn't allow another minute to go by, but I was able to jump out of bed. You know, when some things happen, you all of a sudden that sleep disappears from you. Even though you were extremely tired, when your child is in danger, you know that the sleep naturally, with the adrenaline that pumps through your vein, it disappears. And so I jumped up and I lay hands on her and I began to rebuke the devil. I began to rebuke Satan. Because, you know, one thing that I realized is we can say, oh, it was just a dream, sweetheart. Kiss, kiss, go back to bed, and it will be all right. First of all, people of the African descent, they're not that sweet. Sorry. So let's put the prayer aside for a moment. Joshua said, that's how he was raised. Come on, go back to bed, my friend. Witch cat. You know, he just finished it for me. He said, come on, go back to bed. But then I was scared, drink water. We're not so, you know, we just watch on television and, oh, sweetheart, you had a dream. Oh, it's all right. Mommy will kiss the boo-boo. If a child comes to us, for most of us that are under the sound of my voice, that we are of African descent, some child comes to us and say, oh, mommy, I have a boo-boo on television. Glory to God. On television, they, oh, boo-boo. But if a child of African descent goes to their parents, see, our children are always making fun of us, and we don't even know it. They, on their phones, they have something that is called Vine. Vine, and on this Vine, they have a series of short clips called African Parents Be Like. African parents be like. So what they'll do is they'll first compare an American parent. And a child will run to her American parent and say, mommy, 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 I fell. And the mom will be like, oh, my baby. And then they'll say, an African parent be like, mommy, 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 I fell. What were you doing? How did you fall? Are you blind? And then on top of that, they'll say, but mommy and her, they'll just go like this. They'll even stiffen that. It's okay. And so they have a series of these things that they watch, and they're happy watching it. But, you know, it's one thing, yes, they're happy watching it, and they're making fun of their parents. But on the flip side, they're in school with children that their parents show them a little bit more care than that. So it's not necessarily one thing that I want us as Christians to really begin to look at is whether you are from Africa, whether you're from the West Indies, whether you're from America, whether you're of a Hispanic descent, or whatever it is, we must understand, we must do things in a Christ-like manner. Our goal should never be, oh, this is how my culture has conditioned me to be, but what does Christ expect me to do to this child at this time? The Bible says that we should suffer not the little children to come unto him. That shows that there is a level of love that Jesus had for children. And so when that child is needing, you know, I know when I was a child, I just needed that hug. I just needed that hug, and maybe I got a hug because my parents were exposed to other types of, you know, culture or whatever, and they were new to hug me. And so sometimes we need to take a moment to show that child that I am there for you. I'm busy, but I am still there for you. Now for the children. It is important for you children to understand that this scripture, pull it back up, please, that we're using and that we're speaking and we're saying this is the scripture for you to understand that you are truly God's, you are truly the apple of God's eye. So what does that mean, the apple of God's eye? Well, you know, does anybody, any child want to tell me? What does that mean? Yes, Cheryl, what does it mean to be the apple of God's eye?
That he's always watching us.
That's a wonderful perspective and a good way of looking at it. But let me tell you this, and for all of the children under the sound of my voice, if you say you are the apple of somebody's eye, that means you are the most important part of that eye. Without that important part, they cannot see. So it's like somebody, you are right there, you're looking at me, and I take a stick, and I'm going to stick you in the eye, and you're not going to stop me? You gonna let me poke you in the eye? It's like, well, you African, I don't know. You might slap me upside the head. She's thinking, I don't know what should I. So in other words, if you are trying to poke somebody's eye out, the natural reflex, the natural instinct is to stop you. I remember, and Tommy, you remember one time I was sitting down in a restaurant and you were trying to take something out of my hair. And you were coming, you didn't tell me, Mommy, I'm trying to take something out of your hair. And she was coming from nowhere, reaching for me. I travel. I have to protect myself all the time. So she was reaching for me. All of a sudden, I grabbed her hand. And she was like, I was just trying to. Well, that's what it means to be the apple of God's eye. If you're not, let's talk about us, for example. If somebody was trying to poke Pastor Gloria's eye out, he's going to stop them with everything that he's got. Pastor has been taking us through a series of the kind of, praise God. Pastor has been taking us through a series of the kind of God that we serve, the magnificence of God, the prominence, the bigness of God. So, and we're talking about his eye, not just anybody, not just your mom and dad. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that the Bible said he sits in heaven and he does whatsoever he pleases. He sits in heaven and he makes the earth his footstool. At the mention, at one breath, everything can disappear. And God is saying that you are the apple of his eye. You are the most important aspect of his eye. That means that you are untouchable. Anybody that tries to destroy you has to go through God first. Anybody that tries to bring you down has to go through God first. Anybody that speaks to you in a way that makes you feel like you are a nobody has to go through God first. I am telling you, every child under the sound of my voice, that you need to begin to walk like who you really are. And that is the apple of God's eye. Let me hear the children say that. Say, I am the apple of God's eye. I am untouchable because I am the apple of his eye. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. You must be confident in who you truly are. It's not about the power that you have in yourself. By yourself, you may not be able to fight those bullies. By yourself, you may not be able to stop those people that are trying to initiate you into the gang. By yourself, you may not be able to stop yourself from listening to those kind of music that you should not be listening to. By yourself, you may not be able to resist those friends of yours that says you should come and take something, put it in alcohol, and put it in a part of your body. You might not be able to stand it by yourself. But if you understand that the Bible says, greater is he that is on the inside of you. You carry a big God. You carry a big God that is bigger than you, bigger than your mama, bigger than your daddy. He can protect you from, though it seems like he's far away, his hand, the Bible says, is not too short for him to be able to reach you. The Bible says that his ear is not deaf. That means, just like you said in your skit, God can hear you. Sometimes you are so, you know, into this thing that, well, I don't really know what to say. Sometimes all you need to say is, Lord, help me. I feel like I'm being peer pressured. I feel like I might do this thing, but I know I'm not supposed to. So before I go to school today, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to make the right decisions. Even though I'm not, and sometimes you as children, you've already made the decision. Now the problem is, how do you stop? It is always difficult to stop. So even though you are in a mess and you find yourself in this mess, you must remember to still ask God, God, this is not the life that I want to live. And I'm telling you from example. Before I came to the Lord, I would be doing stuff that I know this well. I mean, I'm not supposed to really do this, but I would tell my friends, hey, guys, I'm doing this with you right now, but I know there's going to come a day I'm not going to live this life. This is not me, and I know that God is going to take me away from this. You have to believe the God that you serve. on a final note for the children, there are three boys that I want you to always focus on when it talks about you being untouchable. You must not be afraid to say no. You must not be afraid to say no to the things that are not of God. There were these three Hebrew boys that were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were facing this huge giant of a king. He was more like a bully, if you want to ask me. And they were saying to him, they were like, you know what? You're going to have to worship me. A lot of things that we do, even in the school, in this time, it's a lot of stuff that we are dealing with the devil, and it's just worshiping the devil. You are able to know right from wrong, to know this thing, this is not glorifying God. It's either it's glorifying God or it's glorifying the devil. There's no in between. And so these three Hebrew boys, they said to them, you're going to have to bow down and do what everybody else is doing, just like a lot of you are faced with every day. You're going to have to do it. And that's just the bottom line. They stood up out of everybody. Are you daring enough to be different, or you just want to blend in? I have never, ever wanted to blend in. It was not cool to be African when I was growing up. My sister would get so upset with me. I was living with my sister. Anytime anybody would ask me, and we were in a shelter. We were in a shelter where we you know, it was just mother and children. I lived in a shelter with her. And so they would come around me, and I had short hair and everything. They would come around me, and they would say, oh, you know, where are you from? Where are you from? And she would tell me, you don't need to tell them that you're from Africa. You just tell them where you're from, New York. That's where you came from, right? You're so stupid, she would tell me. You don't tell them that you're from Africa. But the first thing that rose off my tongue, I'm like, what's wrong with being African? You know, I'm African. What's wrong with that? So they would come to me and they would say, oh, you know, where are you from? Where you from? I would say, I'm from Africa. They would start teasing me. They would tease me and they would tease my sister. And she's even grown. And they would tease us so badly. But I was never afraid to stand out. I am African. I'm the only African in the whole place. But I was never afraid to stand out. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. Never be afraid to stand out. Those three Hebrew boys, they were like, we are not going to bow. And do you know what they said to Nebuchadnezzar? They said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we will not be careful in telling you how we feel. Just like that little girl was telling that other, you know, when Victoria was telling that, the reason why you don't want me to sit with her is because she's new, and I'm not going to do that. It is not cool to talk to the new girls or to the new boys, but you have to dare to be different. Can I hear somebody say different? Different. Say, there is nothing wrong with being different. The three boys said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow to you. And they were like, you know what? We are confident that God will deliver us. But even if God does not show up in your school that particular day, still make a decision. I will not do it. I will not cut class. I'm not going to go to the bathroom to put makeup on. I'm not going to go into the bathroom to smoke some cigarettes that you brought from your daddy's pocket. I'm not going to do it. I dare to be different. I want every child under the sound of my voice, stand up on your feet and put your right hand on your chest and say, I, mention your name. Say, I. Yes, say your name. Say, I, Joyce Sonny. I dare to be different. I am the apple of God's eye. And I am untouchable. I will promise my very best to do my very best to obey the word of God. I shall stand out and I shall be outstanding. I want the parents to please point their hands towards these children. I want you to now prophesy to these children. These children are going through worse than what we went through, y'all. When we were in school, it was not okay to do certain things that is okay now. They need all of our prayers. Let us prophesy into their lives and say that God will deliver them. They shall be the ones that are going to lead their the rest of their generation out of sin in the name of Jesus. We speak life into them. We said that the enemy will not manipulate their minds in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these ones. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Who's doing the welcome with me? Who's my special?